You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to part two of our conversation about funeral family. John Moore. For so long, I think the thought was, oh, how do we help them move into the light? How do we help them do this or that? What if they don't want the help? What do they do? Does every spirit really want us to help them is the question.
Yeah. Like, I personally don't think every spirit wants us to help them. Mm-hmm. I know when we were at that community center, we actually made contact. We caught EVPs of an older woman too, but this woman was actually the person who owned the building once upon a time, and when she died, she left it to the city to become the community center it is. And the staff, they all see her, but they don't see her as a negative spirit, anything like that. She's just there because in life she loved that building, she loved that community, and she wanted to do something for it. So she lingered around the building wanting to see the happiness that's been brought to the community from it. So in that situation, like, who are we to try and remove her from that place, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. And I think more and more people have adopted that outlook in the last, 10 years or so. And I think that's encouraging to see. Everyone doesn't have to be an exorcist, with the goal of removing something. And also, how does one ever truly know that thing should be removed? I believe sometimes people have the best of intentions, but do we ever have the signal from the other side that we should remove them? And more so, do we have the power truly to remove them, being the living, with the rituals, with the prayers, with the sage, with the holy water, with whatever one is trying to do? Does any of it truly remove something that doesn't want to go?
Now, you see, nobody can guarantee that they can remove something 100% of the time.
Sure.
It's impossible because you never know what's going to do it. You never know what it's going to take. And as you just mentioned, you never know if it's actually going to leave. So that's one that's always been like a catch-22, really.
Mm-hmm. I guess the question would be, does the ghost have the free will to stay or go? Like, when you have a haunting and you're walking around with sage and you're doing all of that, I'm not saying you're doing that, but when a homeowner or someone is doing that, is the ghost sitting there going, oh, look, they broke out the sage. They must really want me to leave. And it's not necessarily like, oh, my God, get the sage away from me. It's just like, all right, I guess that's my signal to go. And then because they're not an asshole, they decide, yeah, I guess I'll go. I'm really troubling them. They're going this far. You can see many others where it's like, yeah, the sage, that's nice. I'm still not going to leave. I'm stubborn. I'm going to stay here. Not that they're evil or demonic or something. They're just like, yeah, I really don't care what you want. Just as in life, there's narcissists that don't care about what anyone else wants either. Is it more so of a free will choice on the other side, in your opinion, to leave a haunting or a home that's being haunted as the ghost, based just on politeness or understanding of the living that are currently there?
I believe it's probably a combination of the two. Like, I do know, like, some spirits, if you ask them, they will leave usually. Mm-hmm. And I know in some cases, maybe you would have to use other methods, like possibly exorcism, psychic mediums, like a rescue mediums type things. There's so many different ways out there that people have said, but I mean, so many times you get contacted saying, I've used sage, I've done this, nothing's working, what do I do? So do we really know what it takes? I think on each case is a case by case basis. You know, like if I'm going into a place where there's Native American spirits, simply using like holy water and all may not work on them. But if I appease them using, say, sweetgrass, sage, and Native American rituals, mm-hmm. that may be what's needed. The same as say you're in a location and the spirit is Jewish and you're trying to use a Catholic rite, mm-hmm. you may have no effect because the spirits don't believe in how well it works. So I do believe that there's the belief of the spirit that has to be accounted for in there as well.
And that's interesting because one would almost assume that once you've made it to that point and you're on the other side, are you holding the same belief system? Are you, I mean, what you know, because you're there, you're on the dead side of things. That's kind of where it's like, okay, this is where belief system kicks in and you then go to the next step of whatever it is. Or are you still sitting there on the other side going, well, shit. did I have the wrong belief system because I'm still here?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. But I do believe that when we cross, everyone always says, you know, there's assholes in life, there's assholes in death. You know, sure. The ghost is still going to be the same person they were in death. They're just on another plane of existence, really.
Sure.
So that's really what I think it is. It boils down to, like, we're still here. We haven't gone to wherever the belief system says we would go. We're mm-hmm. technically still here. So, yeah, their beliefs would still remain the same for whatever reason is keeping them here.
So what does that say about the belief systems then? If we're still here after the fact, or is there still another level? And I'm not specifying any single belief system, but what I mean, I'm just curious, what's your opinion on that?
I do believe that the belief systems that we have are all... what's the best word I can use for this? they're all like similar. If you really boil down most religions, they all follow like similar traits throughout them.
Sure.
And it's just different interpretations, really. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that's a large part of it. But yeah, there's just so many of them out there. And how do we know which ones work?
Yeah. I guess the question is, does it ever then lead to that, you know, the pie in the sky gold road place, or does it all just lead to, guess what, you're still on your property but now you can do less?
<You know>? I do believe it does lead somewhere else, but I do think at the same time some people choose not to.
Okay.
Like I do believe you with the free will idea, mm-hmm. where they can choose, like, I don't feel ready to go yet, I want to stay here for a while, mm-hmm. to look out, say they want to look after children, a spouse. They want to look after a property, mm-hmm. or some of them just don't want to go because they're afraid of things they did in life, that they're afraid of being judged when they get there. Mm-hmm. There's others that may just, they suffered some sort of trauma and just can't deal with it and have to stay until they can find a way to move past that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are all things that I think is what means that they stay on Earth as a spirit, as opposed to moving on beyond. Because I mean, otherwise we'd have countless thousands, billions of spirits from people that have come before and died just rolling around all over the place. But we don't have that many, right?
That's true. And that's an interesting thing to kind of think about. Have you ever been involved in helping to remove a spirit from a location?
Yes, I have had a few instances of that before.
And how did that go about? Just to tell me one of the more interesting stories that you have of having that experience.
One of the locations we had was actually a small town down south of us where the building was built in the 70s on the site that used to be a pretty much a rock quarry slash dump.
Mm-hmm.
And there were Satanists in there that were doing rituals and things. There was actually a police document about it from Operation Jericho where it was the ritualistic... abuse of over 300 children. 60 people were arrested for it, and they still supposedly are in operation today. But yeah, the Satanists would actually perform rituals and all in this quarry, and from what we can gather, it was probably around the place where this house was built, because the house, nobody had been able to stay in this house more than 6 months. Everyone ran screaming, essentially, because it was that active. Yeah. While we were there, we saw chairs move. We had all kinds of, like, doors opening and shutting, all kinds of fun stuff. So what we did is I have my friend, Archbishop Plato Angelakis.
Yep, I've had him on the show many times.
Yep, you know, he came with me on that one, and we actually performed a minor rite of exorcism within the house. The next day, the kitchen cabinets slammed, and that was the last activity that has happened in that house. And that was about 9 years ago.
Wow. So it What do you think was being removed there? Do you think it was a demonic spirit or just some really bad people that, you know, were dead?
We believe that one really was a demonic spirit just because of the level of activity and the type. Like, you could go into rooms and you would just feel a malevolent presence, especially in the basement area.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, we were in there and it just felt really hot and heavy. And generally, when you get a heat thing like that, that's something that we more normally would associate with demonic, because that's them, rather than drawing the energy out, making it cool, mm-hmm. they're putting energy into it. And that's a sign usually that something is evil when they can generate their own energy.
I was just going to ask you the question of what are some signs that one could use to determine whether or not we've used the term ass soul on the air before, where it's essentially, you know, it was a human entity at one time versus something that's demonic. And obviously there's some pretty horrible people that have lived that could very easily be confused for demonic. So that's one thing, the energy being expelled as heat rather than sucking in. That's interesting. Are there any other signs that one would look at to go, I think this is demonic, or this is asshole Uncle Jerry who was in prison for 42 years for touching kids?
Another big one too is the frequency, because, you know, it takes energy to do that. So something that's acting up like nonstop all day long, like mm-hmm. 100, like 3 or 4 times a day.
Okay.
It's going to be like something like that has got a lot of energy. So it's obviously going to be more likely to be something negative than a human spirit, because a human spirit can only draw so much energy and use.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to look for that. We also look at the type, like Uncle Jerry might be able to move, say, a coffee cup, something like that, but he wouldn't be able to necessarily like pick up a couch.
Okay.
So we would look at things like that. The severity and frequency would be another big one that we tend to look at. Although, yeah, sometimes you do get human spirits that are a lot more active, because they may have a lot more emotions and energies in the house to feed off of. But most times we find that the frequency of a human spirit would not be that frequent. You may have like outbursts where they may go a couple days, but then you'll have a few days where it goes quiet while they're basically recuperating.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's one of the biggest, those are two of the biggest things we look for when we're looking into these type of things. There are some more in-depth ways of doing it, but those are things that generally most investigators shouldn't get involved with. That's ones for special demonologists, demonic investigators,
mm-hmm.
people that are trained in that type of stuff that we do. So
sure. We were talking earlier about getting verbal communication and things of that nature, and you had mentioned you'd love to go back to the funeral home or the former funeral home and try and communicate with your great-grandfather. What sort of ways and what sort of things do you do today on your investigations to get communication that is fairly decisive, where you can get some of those questions answered that you'd like to ask? What have you relied on? What do you find to be some of the most reliable ways of doing that?
I generally rely on my audio recorder, things like that. Like, I don't like all these new gadgets you see that light up and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the focus of those is basically, like they say, it's scientific research, but at the same time, we don't have any proof that EMF is actually a ghost. So you're basing it on an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a little nervous about some of them. I mean, yeah, they look good on camera, and whenever we do public events where we have people like to see them. But I just find a lot of times you can get false positives with those, and they're not the best of reliability. So I generally tend to stick to the old school, just my recorder, my camera, things like that, and just trying to catch things that way. I do use we have used some other ones, like, you know, putting down flour, things like that, where areas where people hear footsteps to see if you can catch things.
Mm-hmm.
The trigger objects are another one. I have a new piece of tech that actually I'm looking to try, but of course this pandemic hit, we haven't been able to get out with it.
Sure.
It's a laser audio system that we're experimenting with, and I'm hoping to actually deploy sometime soon.
And tell me this, what's your opinion on the future of communication with the dead, or with spirits, whatever it is that we're trying to communicate with here? We've made a lot of progress in the last many years. There's obviously a lot of tech, and some good, some not so good, but mm-hmm. certainly some steps forward than maybe we had in the past. How advanced do you think this stuff is going to get in the next 10, 20, 30 years in terms of communicating clearly and accurately with spirits?
I'd like to say we're probably going to see an increase, but at the same time, it's so difficult because our science isn't there, right?
Sure.
Like, we have a long way to go before we can, like, we still have to prove the theory of consciousness that carries on after we pass. So until we can prove that that actually exists, there's always going to be the doubter saying, oh, well, it's UHF interference from radio bouncing off the atmosphere. Right. Or they're going to be saying it's like in the case of ITC, that it's mostly just audio pareidolia, things like that. Like, you're always going to have those coming out. So I do believe it's going to be like a double edged sword coming forward. Like, I would love to say, like, in the next 20 years, yeah, we may get some interesting equipment that maybe would be accurate and much more reliable to speak to the dead. But I just, there's so many skeptics out there that I just don't see. I don't know if it would actually happen.
Sure. It's like we may get more ways of communicating and more things that many of us will look at and go, that's amazing. But it'll also increase many more people saying, well, that's not real. And I don't know that we'll ever convince everyone to come over and believe in these things. But nonetheless, just the ways that it's evolving are stunning.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just in the last 10 years, the amount of things that have come about, like 10 years ago, when I first started, like, we'll even go back then, when I started 25 years ago, we didn't even have EMF.
Sure.
Like, back then, it was the late 90s. EMF was just starting to come, just starting to make its way in. Before that, everybody was using Geiger counters. But now we've got these EMF detectors because of research that was done by Dr. Michael Persinger here in the Laurentian University. So we're seeing all kinds of things like that come out from, like, parapsychologists and other doctors, and it's just being adapted to the paranormal. But again, it's all theory, unfortunately, but we are seeing a big jump in certain things because of it, and it is good to see.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with John Moore. A big thank you to him for sharing his experiences and opinions with us today on The Grave Talks. And a thank you to you for listening and supporting the show. We could not do this without you. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.